The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Once again, prophecy and current events. We're going to talk about a one world religion. We've talked about, in this series, we've talked about one world government. We've talked about a one world currency. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, the youth need to be dismissed. We've talked about one world currency. We talked about the Temple Mount and how important it is, according to prophecy, that the Jewish people are preparing to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount. There's lots of things that are happening in regards to that right now. So these current events are really pointing toward these things coming together. And today, as I talk about a one world religion, I want to begin by saying something that I really think is very important, and I'll let you know that right up front, I am not opposed to Catholics. Everybody understand that? Okay. But some of the things I'm going to be saying this morning is going to be in opposition to the Catholic Church or the Vatican and the Pope, because I believe that they are not teaching the Bible, the Word of God. I believe from the very beginning, the Catholic Church is not, Catholic means universal. So it's universal church. And the reality is, Catholic Church, the Vatican, believes they're the only church. And that those principles have been established in all their the Vatican meetings and the different things that they have established down through the ages. I believe from my study that in the beginning and up till today, the Catholic Church is a pagan religion, not a Christian religion. This is hard for some people to swallow. But all the things that they do, all the principles that they establish have very little to do with Christianity. Worshiping, praying to Mary, praying to saints, doing the different things that they do, their rituals. I know some of you know and you're in agreement with me. Some of you probably do not understand what exactly is going on. But what I want you to understand is this. I do believe there are many Catholics that are born again, have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's a difference between saying that that organization is off track to saying that individual people are, you know, regardless of what affiliation they have. It's the same with the Methodist. I believe the Methodist organization is way off track in regards to the Bible. The Episcopalians, the United Church of Christ, which is ordaining homosexuals as ministers. I have to say, it's wrong. But there are people in those congregations and in those denominations that are born-again believers. So I don't want to separate, you know, I don't want to say that we're against a group, a particular person or group of people. We're against the heretical teachings that are coming out of these denominations in these organizations. Okay, as I established that, I want you to understand. So some of the things I'm going to be saying this morning, I don't want it to shock you. Okay? So here we go. As we get into this, we're going to read a little bit out of Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. I had several scriptures that I was going to read, but I'm probably not going to read all that. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication and inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in a spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemies, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having on her hand in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Now, it goes on to talk about this woman and the beast. And the woman is riding on the back of the beast. And most Bible scholars that I have read and studied believe that this woman is a world religious system that is going to be a part of the world governmental system that helps bring about the government, a one world government, by drawing the world religions together so that everybody will be united. In fact, most who are pushing for a one world government realize that unless they can unite the world religions, a one world government will never be possible. So the attempt now is to establish a world religious system. A few years ago, there was an organization established, actually in 1948, so it's been quite a few years ago, an ecumenical organization called the World Council of Churches. This was supposed to be a Christian organization. The World Council of Churches, let me just read a little bit about what it says about the World Council of Churches. It was supposed to be a fellowship of churches which accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the World Council of Churches is not necessarily a church, nor does it issue orders or directions to the churches. It works for the unity, renewal of the Christian denomination, and offers them a forum in which they may work together in the spirit of tolerance and mutual understanding. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The problem is that as you begin to look at and realize that some of the things that the World Council of Churches believes in, it is far from fundamental Bible beliefs. For instance, one of the first organizations to begin promoting homosexual priests and homosexual Christian leaders and same-sex marriage was the World Council of Churches. They have been supporting that for a long time. They also, in this article that we have up there, American Thinker, the title is The Unchurched Behavior of the World Council of Churches. And basically, in this article, they talk about how the World Council of Churches is pushing for a Palestinian state because the World Council of Churches believes that the Jewish people have taken Palestinian land. They occupy Palestinian land. Those are two things that normally fundamental Bible-believing churches do not adhere to. Another thing, in a reimagining conference in Minneapolis in 1993, the Deputy General Secretary of the World Council of Churches taught that we all have a spirit mother. And that spirit mother is watching over us. And also our spirits of the dead are surrounding us and protecting us. If you know anything about the Bible, you know we are forbidden to talk to the dead. The scripture is very clear about that. And yet this is the World Council of Churches perspective on things that we are. We have a mother spirit that is protecting us. And not only that, I don't have... a mother spirit. I have a good mother. And one day she will be a spirit, no longer in the physical body, be a spirit only. When Jesus Christ takes her from this earth, if she doesn't come before then, which may very well happen. And she will be a spirit, but she's not my mother spirit. I have a Holy Spirit. And my Heavenly Father is a spirit, but no mother spirit. These are heretical teachings. I want you to understand this. But the purpose of this whole organization is to bring the Christian churches together under one umbrella I continue to go through this. You'll see it's not that the purpose of that is so that all the Christians are united, and then eventually we can move into uniting all the religions of the world together. We're rapidly moving in that direction right now as they are trying to formulate the one world religion along with the one world government. In an article called One World Religion, Now Officially Born, in June of 1997, Richard Schneiden, Mercury News religion and ethics writer, he said this: "Interfaith. This is an interfaith meeting. It gives birth to united religions. The political United Nations has a spiritual equivalent, a new world order religion called United Religions." So not only do we have a world council of churches, we now have a world religious organization, which is bringing all religions together. For what purpose? To unite them in a world religious system. The purpose of the United Religious Initiative is to promote enduring daily interfaith cooperation to end religious motive violence and create cultures of peace, justice, and healing for the earth and all living beings. Wonderful statements, but you have to look beyond their statements. You have to look beyond what is actually being said to what is actually being done. And all these movements are, the purpose behind them is to draw the world religions together into a one world religious system. Former Israeli president Shimon proposed a few years ago that the Pope be the head of the United Religions. When he said that, the Pope really didn't have any comment about it. But we need to understand that the Catholic Church, the Pope, and all these united religions are all behind pushing forward to reestablish a one world government, one world currency, and a one world religious system. The Vatican has been taking steps to position itself to lead the one world religion, because they are calling all Christians and all faiths together. It's not only the denominational churches, but the Pope is also reaching out to people like Kenneth Copeland, other charismatic leaders, charismatic Pentecostal leaders. There's a charismatic leader by the name of Tony Palmer. He is now dead. He had an accident on a motorcycle. But he was an Episcopalian bishop that went around. He was a spirit-filled Episcopalian bishop, and he was going around as a liaison from the Pope to the charismatic churches, promoting unity among the churches. Now, unity is not a bad thing. But what we have to understand is, what is going to be the ultimate goal here? The Pope is reaching out to these organizations, but we have to understand that the Catholic Church has never accepted the Protestant movement. They've always rejected it. They've always called us heretics. And they're not going to change that. The Council of Trent, they made a particular statement. They condemned anyone who was not Catholic to hell. They said it was anathema, which means that they're headed to hell. Catholics have never renounced that statement, nor have any of the popes. They're not on our side. And yet, we continue to see Christian believers, charismatics, they're all moving toward allowing the Pope to be the religious leader. Let me show you a video of Pope Benedict. It was at a ecumenical prayer service. But let's see just a little bit of this. Go ahead and play that one if you would. I want you to see how these denominational religious leaders are, many of them, bowing to the Pope.
According to ecumenical protocol, the Eastern Orthodox would be first in order, as they are, of course, first in priority in the Catholic Church's ecumenical responsibility.
The legate and ecumenical officer of the Eastern Diocese of the Armenian Church in America and president of the National Council of Churches in the United States. Organist, may I present Reverend Dr. Donald McCoy, representing the presiding Bishop Mark Hansen of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Evangelical Lutheran Church.
Organist, may I present Bishop Jeremiah J. Park, Bishop of the New York Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church.
Okay, you go ahead and stop that. It goes on and on. There's Pentecostal churches there. There's all kinds of heads of Christian organizations. And here's what I want to point out to you. I don't think there's anything wrong with having an ecumenical prayer service. That's what they were doing. But why is the Pope the guy up front and everybody being presented to the Holy Father? Think about it a little bit. Something is wrong here. This should not be happening. And yet all these people and all these denominational leaders are presenting themselves to the Holy Father to be accepted by Him. I don't want to be accepted by Him. I want to be accepted by my Heavenly Father. I don't need earthly Holy Father. This is important stuff as we go through and as we continue to move in this direction toward realizing that this one world religion is being established right before our eyes, that it's happening now. And I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you, it's not very far down the road. All these things that I've been talking about, the world religion, the world government, economic system. It's all being put into place right now, and there's a convergence. It's all beginning to converge together. Many Christians don't even see what's happening. They're blind to it. Sometimes it's because pastors are not sharing the truth and showing what is exactly happening in our world. I want you to understand. I don't preach these things because it makes me feel good. And it probably doesn't make you feel very good. I preach it because it's truth. I'm sharing these things with you because I want you to know what is happening in our world. Be aware. When you see something about the one world religion, it'll come up in your mind. You'll realize that, hey, that's not exactly the way things should be. That's not biblical doctrine. So let's go on with this. As those Protestants bowed to the Pope, which was several years ago when Benedict was still the Pope, it's important that we point out some things that the Catholic Church and the Pope have said recently that are very dangerous. One of the things that Pope Francis said recently is that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is dangerous. Now, you have to realize that when Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses, one of the things that he talked about was that you did not have to have the church or go through the sacraments of the church in order to be saved. You could be saved by faith through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ. So for the Pope to reiterate this and say that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is dangerous, that means that we are all dangerous people because we have personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need somebody to intervene on our behalf. We don't need somebody to confess to. We have Jesus to confess to. Recently, a National Catholic Report, the National Catholic Reporter issued this: church is essential for faith. There's no free agents, the Pope says. And in this article, basically what he is saying is that you can't be a free agent. You have to be associated with the church. Now listen, we all agree with that, right? Don't we pretty much agree that you have to have fellowship? You need to be associated with the body of Christ. That's a good statement on the surface. However, you have to understand what Pope and the Catholics are saying when they say without the church, the universal church, the Catholic church, the one and only church, if you're outside of that, then you are not a part of salvation, regardless of your relationship with Christ. I hope that I'm making this clear without sounding like I'm condemning Catholics, because I don't want to do that. I just want us to see and understand what is happening in our world right now. Protestant believers, I believe, are being deceived. I believe that in the spirit of unity, which we all want is unity in the body, that we are being set up for something that is going to astound many people, disturb, and for some, scare. Because when it all comes to pass and you're not aware of what's happening, when all these things happen, if we happen to be here when this happens, you're going to be amazed at what's going on. You're going to be amazed of how the strings have all been pulled in the background and how things have all been set up for it to take place. One of the things that I mentioned, Tony Parker, Tony Palmer spoke to Kenneth Copeland and a group of charismatic and Pentecostal believers. One of the things that he said was, he used Malachi 4:6, and he said, which says, "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." And he used that scripture to say that God is now turning the Protestant churches back to the Pope. Isn't that crazy? Well, I got to tell you, even Rick Warren is getting in on the act. I've got a video of Rick Warren talking about how important it is for unity.
Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He is doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. And as our new Pope, he was very, very symbolic in, you know, his first mass with people of AIDS, his kissing of the disformed man, his loving the children, this authenticity, this humility, the caring for the poor. This is what the whole world expects us Christians to do. And when they go, "Oh, that's what a Christian does." In fact, there's a headline here in Orange County, and I love the headline. I saved it. It said, "If you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus."
That was a headline.
Oh. It was a headline. I saved it. I showed it to a group of priests I was speaking to a while back.
I don't think that was the video that I was thinking about. It's the one where he talks about them praying to Mary. Okay, all right. Well, let me explain to you what he does say, and you can go look it up for yourself. Rick Warren says that he accepts the Pope. He believes the Pope is a good man. And then he tries to explain why it's okay for people to pray to Mary or pray to the dead. And he does a very poor job of it because you can't explain that biblically. So I'm not, I don't believe that Rick Warren is an evil man. But I do believe that just like Kenneth Copeland and Rick Warren and all these other Protestant believers, that they're being deceived by a movement that is going to overtake them. And at one point, they're going to have some point along the way, the Christian church, the Protestant church, the Reformed church is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to be a part of the one world religion or follow the Lord Jesus Christ? It's going to come down to that sometime, someplace along the line. As for me, I know where I stand. Jesus is Lord of my life. My Heavenly Father is my God. And I serve Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I refuse to bow to the religious order of the day. Someday, if Jesus doesn't come and take His church away before this happens, someday I may have to pay with my life for those kind of statements. I have come to grips with that. I want you to understand, that's not an easy thing to think about and realize. But I've come to grips with the fact that I am a dead man walking. It's more important to know that I serve Jesus Christ than it is to live this life. I'm ready to die for Jesus. I want you all to think about that. Are you? Because it may happen. This is not a happy message, is it? But it's a reality. There are good messages. You know, I preach all kinds of good messages. Pastor Otis said this morning, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't fail. Hallelujah. You have to work at failing. And I believe that that's true. We have good things ahead of us, great things ahead of us. God is doing incredible things in this church and in the world. And if we will stand, we will see great exploits take place. There will be tremendous things happen in the name of Jesus Christ. But the bottom line is this for all of us. Are we willing to give up our life, this physical life for Jesus? I can tell you, you know whether you're willing to give up your physical life if you've given up the pleasures of this life that God has told you to walk away from. Because there's some things that He deals with every person about. And if you're giving up those things, I don't believe you'll have any trouble if someone would say, deny Christ or die. I believe you're ready for that. We'll look at a few other things here this morning. The reason I say these things, and I believe what is happening, is that the Pope is setting himself up to be the religious leader of the world. And he's because he's not only drawing in Christians, he's also drawing in all religions. Recently, quite some time ago, but Pope John Paul II, three popes ago, he had a photo of him kissing the Quran. This is a picture of it. Because he is also reaching out to Muslims. Now, people ask why he kissed the Quran. And you got to understand something. The Catholics do not explain it, and he didn't explain it. But I can tell you this, I know this for a fact. People have asked, when the Pope goes to a country for the first time, and a long time, you know, usually they in the past they haven't visited other countries much because there were some restrictions. But when he goes to a new country, you will notice the Pope will bow down and kiss the ground. People say, wow, the Pope is blessing that country. No, he's not. He's claiming it for himself. That is fact. And anytime he goes to a new place, he will bow down and kiss that ground and claim it as his. That's what he's doing when he's kissing the Quran. He's claiming the religion for himself. Seems a little weird, doesn't it? Another article. Well, this is a video. Pope calls Jesus and the Bible a lie. Why don't you play that one for me?
According to a November 3rd, 2014 article at Inquisitor.com, Pope Francis, the leader of the worldwide Roman Catholic Church, recently declared, speaking at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, that fish-to-man evolution, Darwinian evolution, is not only an acceptable teaching, but he said that Darwinian evolution and the Big Bang do not conflict with the idea of God as creator of life and of the universe. And he also said that God basically could not have done it any other way because God simply isn't powerful enough. Listen to what the Pope said. Quote, when we read about creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining that God was a magician with a magic wand, able to do everything. But that is not so. He created human beings and let them develop according to the internal laws that he gave to each one so they could reach their fulfillment. In other words, the Pope says it is not so that God is able to do everything. And so he had to use the mechanics of evolution. Of course, these statements are antithetical to the clear and literal interpretations of the Word of God. Now, the Pope may not know the Word of God in context, and a viewer of this video might say, I don't believe the Bible to be true. Well, you and the Pope will ultimately have to take those things up with the Creator himself one day, but the fact remains, if one claims to speak for the biblical truth, it would be helpful to know what the Bible says. For example.
Okay. As you can see, the Pope is denying that the Bible is true where it says, in the beginning, God created. He's saying that's not true. God didn't create the earth and everything that we know in a 7-day period of time. He used evolution to do so. Is that the kind of religious leader that you want? Someone that denies the Bible? That's what we're looking at here. We're looking at all kinds of heretical statements by the Vatican and by the Pope that just absolutely deny that the Bible is true. In 1519, Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses, condemning many of the practices of the Catholic Church. After refusing to recant, the Catholic Church excommunicated him and called him an outlaw. For many years, the Protestant Reformation grew. And then in 1540, Ignatius Loyola, with the approval of the Pope, established an organization called the Society of Jesus, or Jesuits. The overall purpose, listen closely to their purpose, the overall purpose of the Jesuit order is to eradicate Protestant churches or bring them back under the authority of the Pope by any means possible. Jesuits take an oath. In that oath, they swear to bring about that purpose by any possible means. Lying, cheating, stealing, even murder is acceptable. It makes no difference because the means are justified by the end result, the Pope being in charge. That's what we're getting at. In the early 70s or late 70s, a gentleman by the name of Malachi Martin, I think there's a picture of him up there, who was a Jesuit. He saw some things that he didn't like and he asked for a leave. He started writing some books and appearing on talk show, anybody that would listen to him. He left the church with the approval of that time of the Pope to publicly warn the masses of people that there was a war going on in the Vatican. The war was between traditional Catholics and the Jesuit order. He said that the Jesuits, get this now, I know this is going to shake some of you. He says the Jesuits are Luciferian, that they worship Satan, not God. In fact, he said that there was some satanic rituals being performed in the Vatican at that very time. We have no reason to think that it hasn't changed at all. In fact, not too long ago, an Italian newspaper article had this headline. Can you see it? This archbishop says that there are Satanists in the Vatican. Of course, you don't hear too much about that kind of stuff because it's being hushed up. But the reality is, according to Malachi Martin and many others, that this is actually happening. Malachi Martin, asserted that we would know who won the future, who won the battle, by what took place in the Vatican, the direction that the Catholic Church would take from that point on. Now we know who won the battle. Pope Francis is the first Jesuit pope ever to be elected. First one. We know who's winning the battle in the Vatican. It's not the godly people at this point. Now, this all fits into Bible prophecy, eschatology, things of the end time. It's all coming to pass. Well, I think I have a video that says something about this. Play that one, please.
All right, we're talking to Father Jack Ashcroft. Father Jack Ashcroft, give us that website one more time because I think people definitely should check out what you're talking about.
Okay, it's www.trueexorcist.com. You'll find lots of articles there and other things, everything from culture and politics to cults, the occult, theology, you name it.
Now, since you've been on, I mean, we've been with you for the entire hour so far. Since you've been on, we've been getting a lot of messages about exorcisms. Ask them about exorcisms, and this is what I want to do. We're going to do that, but since there's so much interest in that, evidently, which kind of scares me, by the way. I don't know what's going through the mind of you listeners, but since there's so much interest in that, we'll have to have you on just to talk about that, and we'll do a whole hour devoted to that. But you said something that's very interesting that I want to get back to. Since we're talking about how the political side, the societal side, and the influence of the occult is really playing out, you said about the Pope in the last segment, the so-called Pope. That kind of struck me as interesting, since you are Father Jack Ashcroft. Do you not agree that this is the Pope?
No, I do not. He is what we would call an anti-Pope. As a response to the Second Vatican Council and the modernism that issued forth from that, the false teachings, the false practices, there was a response by certain members of the clergy, including a Cardinal Ottaviani, to the changes that the Second Vatican Council was implementing, demonstrating how they undermined the faith, they undermined the foundation of the gospel of Christ, and they literally created a new religion. And by way of demonstrating that, it's interesting to note that the new mass that is celebrated in most of what are called Catholic churches today is called the Novus Ordo Missae, the new order mass. Kind of interesting, that
what?
Little bit of connection. Yes, It is actually called the Novus Ordo Missae. So, a growing number of clergy responded by saying, we do not accept these changes, we are not going in this direction. And as a matter of fact, the Pope who is agreeing to this has become a manifest heretic. And we cannot agree that he is the Pope any longer. And thus was born a movement called Sede Vacantism. Sede meaning the seat, vacante meaning vacant. In other words, the seat of the Bishop of Rome is empty. There is no Bishop of Rome.
Okay, you can shut that down. All right. As you can see, this gentleman, who is a Catholic priest, says that the present Pope should not be in the position that he is in. That the Jesuit order has taken over and are now in charge. In fact, the Jesuits have what is called the general... let me see real quick. Remember what he is called, Superior General of the Society of Jesus. Show a picture of that gentleman, if you would, please. This is the gentleman that is now the Superior General of the Jesuits, Adolfo Nicolás. For many years, this guy or his position has been referred to as the Black Pope. Most people believe that for many, many years, the Black Pope has really been the one that's been in charge in the Vatican, because he has the authority and the power of the Jesuit order behind him. The Jesuits, at this point, seem to be in control of the Catholic Church. The Jesuits desire, without a doubt, everything that I've read about them, is to rule the world. And one of the ways they want to bring that to pass is through a one world government system. This is how where we are right now in this direction for a one world government, a one world currency, and a one world religion. We're headed rapidly toward this thing. I just want you all to know where we are. I want you to see what's happening in our world. I want you to be aware so that when you see things on the news and you hear things that sound good, you got to understand there are some ulterior motives behind it that are not being seen. The enemy is at work. Now, am I saying throw up your hands and give up? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is pray. Get on your face before Almighty God. Together, let's unite. Let's move in a direction that we can see God touching the lives of people, really touching the lives of people. We're not offering some kind of fake religious service or fake religious experience, but we're offering Jesus, the Son of God, to people. The answer to the world. Will we move forward in the name of Jesus Christ as a mighty army? Because that's what we are. We are an army in Christ. We are destroying. We are to stand and destroy the very gates of hell. We can stand against it. And they'll not prevail against us. We have the greater one inside of us. And we have a responsibility. Well, we're not going to need that video. No. Thank you. We have a responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to rise up, to mount up as the church. I know, you know, we're considered the bride of Christ. Amen. That's coming. You know, when Jesus comes and takes us up, guess what? We will be His bride. Until that time, we are the army of God. We are all ambassadors of Christ. We have been called to tear down the strongholds that the enemy has set up in this world. I think part of the problem is at this point in history, the reason that we are where we are right now is because we as the church are lame. We're not walking in the power and authority that we have. We're not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. We're not taking authority. It's crazy. I had somebody call me up yesterday. And they said, we're having these problems. We're hearing voices and things are happening in our house. And, you know, they're even, the people are waking up with marks on their bodies. Things are just going on. You know. What can you do to help us? Please help us. So I went to the house. You know, I just went there to see what was going on, what I could do, what I could say to them. And the guy, he didn't want to talk about it. The woman, she really felt like something was going on, and she was into all kinds of spiritual things, not necessarily Christian, but spiritual. And I just tried to share with her. I prayed for her, and I prayed in the room that she thought things were going on, but I did my best to try to share with her that the most important thing that she needed was that personal relationship with Jesus. That would put a stop to these demonic forces having any kind of control in her life. I walked away from her. I'm not sure she comprehended or even wanted to. I just walked away from that place feeling like, you know, the enemy is having his way in this family. This is not unusual. These things are happening all over the place. People are being bombarded by the enemy. We have answers for them. They do not have to accept those answers. But we have answers. And the first thing they have to do is recognize that they're a sinner and they need to be saved by grace through Jesus Christ's blood. We as believers in Jesus Christ must carry this banner wherever we go. We must be prepared to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are forces of hell that are working against the church, this church, and every church that is trying to do the work of Jesus Christ. There are demonic forces assigned to us to tear us down and to destroy us. I don't tell you that to scare you. I tell you that to get you on the ball a little bit, to rise up, to recognize you're a warrior. You can put a stop to these things. Amen. Be aware when the enemy comes whispering in your ear, you know so-and-so, you know what they're like, you know. Don't let that stuff go on. Don't allow the enemy to whisper lies to you. Stand up against him. Jesus has given us his mind. We have the mind of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You have the mind of Christ. You think about that the next time you happen to be watching something on TV. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Says, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be watching that. Because that's the mind of Christ trying to speak to you. The mind that you have and the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. The next time that you participate in tearing down another human being, whether it's a believer or a non-believer, to participate in a group of people that's just tearing somebody apart, speaking ill of them. Think about that. Yeah. We as believers should not be involved with such things. Glory be to God. God has called his people to rise up and be strong, to be faithful, and to accomplish his will. We have to be a separate people. We have to be separate from what the world. We cannot live the same way the world lives. Just because you can get by with something doesn't mean that it's right. And those are the standards that the world's living by right now. You have to set a higher standard. Wherever you go, set the bar high. And people will call you all kinds of names and they'll say things about you. But the important thing is, what does Christ think about you? Right. What is Jesus saying to your Heavenly Father about you? When we recognize who we are in Christ, I believe things will change in this world. God wants His army to rise up and to go forth in the name of Jesus. Stand up with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.